In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. To the fifth of the Blessed Holy 50 days. And as we all know, the theme of this Sunday is about the Lord telling us about Himself being the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the Lord is the way for everything that's of value. He is the way to heaven. He is the way of salvation. He is the way to find peace, the way for freedom. Everything that man is looking for, the answer will always be, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way of every good thing. It's not a surprise today when we hear at the beginning of the chapter that we just heard, that the beginning of the passage says, let not your heart be troubled. Today we are going to speak about the Lord being the way for peace. This is what we all long for. Every day we wake up in the morning asking for God to keep us safe and also to give us peace. So today we speak in 4 points about the Lord, the way for peace, and what are the 3 main enemies that battle against our peace, mainly fear, division, and confusion. The way for peace is spoken about in the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, speaking about the people of Israel did not know the way for peace because they did not know their God, and that's why they were troubled all the time. Since they departed from Egypt, they lost the way for peace, and their life was full of this kind of confusion and distraction, and lost their peace. That's why they were not able to communicate with God. We know that we are called to walk on a narrow path and a difficult road, and many of us sometimes we struggle with the idea, how can we walk on this path and at the same time we enjoy peace? The answer simply is, the peace does not come how wide or comfortable is the way. It comes from the companionship who is walking on this road. Yes, it is difficult, it's a daily struggle, but we have peace because we are walking with the King of Peace. Peace is the landmark of the godly life. It was said by one of the fathers, if you find peace, many people will be attracted to you, and you will lead them to heaven. It is this thing that by which the people will know that we are the children of God when we enjoy peace in our lives. I don't want you to understand that there is a life with no trouble, or that the people who are spiritual, they walk in their ways with no sense of distress or difficult days sometimes. But sure enough, they soon turn into this kind of peace. Even if they are distressed or they are oppressed by other reasons outside themselves, still they can find deep inside peace that make them to sustain the life and keep walking till they reach the promised land. What are the 3 main enemies of this peace? Namely, fear, division, confusion. Let us see how each one of these battle against our peace, and how through the Lord of Christ we can find peace again. Fears come from different sources. Fear of pain, loss, fear of the unknown, of being in need, of death. These are all common reasons for fear. Everyone experiences fear, even the bravest among us, even the martyrs and all of those saints that we hear their stories, how they confronted death, they also experience fear. So it is not because we fear, then we should lose peace. But we lose peace in 2 conditions. Fear deprives us of our peace when it turns into panic and when we feel totally responsible for our own safety. 2 reasons will turn fear into a sin and will make falling in sin inevitable. Remember the spies who went to the promised land. The 12 spies were the same characteristics. They are the best of their tribes. There, and they saw what they saw, they came back with different reports. 2 of them panicked because of what they saw. They saw people are giants, enemies are undefeatable. When they came back, they started to promote this kind of spirit of panic. And then they thought only of themselves. There is no way we can get over this obstacle. We are like grasshoppers in our own eyes. When they forgot about who is in charge of their protection and they panicked, what happened is that thinking, how can we go back to Egypt? When fear turns into one of these two things, we lose our peace. How can we regain peace while facing fears? And as I said, every one of us experiences fears one way or another. The answer will always be faith. Faith is the word that we speak about the most, and we need to put it in action to reap its fruits and enjoying peace that comes with a faithful life. There is a story about a monk who lived in a time where there was a famine. Everybody was in need of bread. And this monk, like others, he was also hungry. He had only 3 breads in his cell. And he thought in himself, this will be enough for me for maybe a week. I will eat half bread every day and everything should be okay for a week, and afterwards, maybe I will die. So while he started to pray before eating, then he hears someone on the door of his cell. He opens and he finds a stranger asking for, do you have any bread to share with me? I'm hungry and I didn't eat for days. The monk thought in himself for a few minutes and then he decided that, okay, I will share this bread with him. He gave him one of the 3 bread and he kept 2 with him. He said, I have enough for today and we'll see what's going to happen tomorrow. Again, before eating, another person came knocking on the door, and then another stranger, also a hungry person, asking for food. And then the monk now is thinking, now whatever I'm going to keep will be very little if I share one of the 2 breads I have. At the end, he confronted his fears and he gave this one of the 2 breads he had. And he said, okay, now I have food for today, tomorrow will take care of itself. And not before long time, another person came with the same request, hungry person asking if you can share with me the bread you have. At that time, the monk was in a situation where either me or him, one of us is going to die. He remembered that he is not sustaining himself. And if God is allowing this to happen, maybe this is to test him, maybe this is the end of his life, let it be something that he dies in an honorable way. So he decided to give the last bread he has and share it with a poor person who came knocking on his door. The fourth time was he has nothing now to share with anybody and he's hungry. In his mind, this is the end. The fourth time was a person on the door and was a soldier. And he was carrying with him many camels that's full of goods. And he told him that God sent him to you, so you will be like the one who is going to distribute for the whole wilderness at your time. And God promised that there will never be famine for the wilderness you live in till the time of your departure. We read these stories in the paradise of the fathers and we rejoice in them. Of course, the difficulty is when it happens to us. At that time, making a decision between if I want to maintain and sustain myself and I keep myself safe, or maybe I make a sacrifice trusting that I'm not really in a charge of my own soul. In the story from the Bible of the 3 young, saintly youth, we see them confront, standing up, not bowing to the statue that Nebuchadnezzar erected, knowing that this is what caused them. When said, we are not going to bow, they were not sure if God is going to save them. But they were sure of one thing, that we have faith in God, and this is enough for us to stand the challenge. And we know the rest of the story. The church, to encourage us to have faith in God, in our liturgy, we have many things that tell us how to confront our fears, not to surrender to them. Baptism itself is a kind of death that we accept willfully. We even come with our children and we allow them to die with Christ in order for us to know that peace and calmness in our life come from Him, not from our own protection. When we come fasting to the liturgy, fasting is an act that is against human life. If we keep fasting, we die. But we come here offering ourselves, accepting that we are not going to eat unless we eat from the hand of Christ when He gave us His body and His blood. When we are requested to give from our necessities, we all know that we should tithe. But we all also know that even if I don't have enough, I'm still requested to keep giving. This might be contradicting to a person who might think that if I do not sustain my life, no one is going to do it for me. I am in charge and no one else is going to help or protect or provide. Of course, all of these practices make us to confront our fears, trusting and having faith in Christ, who is the King of Peace, who can provide and protect and keep safe. The second enemy of peace is the enemy of division. With every division, there is loss of peace. This applies on us as individuals, applies on our homes, our churches, our country, the country we live in, everywhere. Whenever division prevails, peace is lost. There are many forms of division. The most common one is the division that's caused by sin. Sin separates us from God, and this makes us, of course, we lose peace. There is no peace for a person living in sin with no repentance. When we have a conflict between what we desire and what we already have, this kind of struggle and contention that happens sometimes between I want something and I cannot attain it, this makes us also to lose our peace. A heart split between love of God and that of the world. I have sometimes where I love God, I have sometimes where I love the world. This will make us also to lose peace with others, love towards our neighbors. This is a reason also of losing peace. All of these are presentations of divisions, and all of them lead us to the same place. We lose our peace. The way of peace, the way for peace, whenever facing division, will always be unity, oneness. And this is what is brought to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the author of unity. All who know Him know how to live whole, one with themselves, with people around them. If we miss Him, if we don't have this relationship with Him, then unity and oneness is impossible. We struggle with sin. We all do. This is something in common among all of us. The story about Saint Moses is strong when he went to the wilderness. And he was struggling with his previous life. The memories, all of these roots of sin in him that pushing him to go back into what he left behind. The only way for him was to go and confess. And we hear about him that he went to confess in one night 11 times. It can tell, this story tells us about how much struggle he went through. But this was his way to have peace back again. Going and confessing and opening to his Father of Confession, releasing all of the souls that's coming to him, asking for his prayers. Another way also we can see how when the people know God, how they can come back to unity, is the division that happens in the Church of Corinth. The Church of Corinth was converted at the hands of St. Paul the Apostle. He stayed with them for a year and a half. When he left, another good teacher called Apollos came to them. Apollos was a man from Alexandria, was an eloquent speaker. The people in Corinth loved him, but they loved him in a way that was not right. They started to compare him with St. Paul, and people were divided, struggling, who is the best, who is the greatest, St. Paul or St. Apollos? This ended the church into a status of division. They lost their peace. St. Paul wrote to them his first epistle, warning them against this kind of division. But look here, he and St. Apollos, because they were on the same mind, this kind of unit, he writes to them at the end of the apostle saying, "Now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to come to you with the brethren, but he was quite unwilling to come at this time. However, he will come when he has a convenient time." He was urging St. Apollos to go back and continue the work in Corinth. He did not think about now he will have more popularity, people will go away from me further. Nothing of this came to his mind. He was living in perfect unity with his brother. And what about St. Apollos? He did not want to go. Why? Because he doesn't want to a place where people are going to favor him and take him as like and take some kind of sides between him and St. Paul. He didn't want to go. People have the same mind, and I'm sure that this kind of way of unity between both of them made the people of Corinth to regain back what does it mean to live as a Christian. We live to love and help and support one another, not to compete in any way or form. In the liturgy also, many practices tell us about unity. One of them is that we all partake of one body. And from our church, we always see it's only one urbana that's on the altar. And we all eat from it, because this will make us again one. When we kiss one another after the reconciliation prayer to regain peace with one another, when we repent, when we hear the absolution during the liturgy, all of this make us to go back and become one in heart and enjoy peace. The reminder about do not love the world or the things in the world. Hear it every time, because when we go into this division, we lose peace. And also praying for one another. We come to the church to pray for the sick, those who are absent, those who are struggling outside. All of this make us one. And by this, we gain peace against the enemy of division. The third enemy against our peace is the enemy of confusion. And now we can see that we live in a world that lost its peace simply because of the confusion that's prevailing in our current time. Confusion comes when a mind is not governed by the Spirit of God. No matter how smart or intelligent or able to comprehend, if we are not governed by the Spirit of God, this same mind that we like take pride in will lead us to confusion and loss. Look now at something that's very simple. People are confused about their own gender, and they struggle if I am a boy or a girl, and the world is saying to them, whatever you think, you do whatever, you think whatever. There is no way anyone will live in peace with this kind of confusion. This confusion, in many ways, even with our own logic and rationale, everyone can have his own logic, even to the point that people who are committing suicide, they have their own reason why this is the right thing to do. How we end up there, I made it reasonable. My mind made it logic for me. In the same way, confusion comes to the mind by its limitation and its continuous change. Today, I'm this age, I think this way. Tomorrow, I have another way of thinking. Another week, I hear something else. All of this change makes us subject to and also the outside influences. We read today everything, and we hear news about all kinds of different points of view, and people between this and this, and what they think is right, what people are telling them, they are confused, and by this we lose our peace. St. Paul warns the Ephesians when he said them that we should no longer be children. Children here means immature, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. Isn't this what's happening now? The trickery of men giving us many doctrines that lead us to confusion in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So how can we regain peace while in this kind of confusion when we acquire the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ is a calm one, is a peaceful one, that one that knows whom he is, where he is heading, how we should walk in the way, favoring calmness, learning submission and humility. All of this make us to regain peace. We all know this, the day we are away from the internet, we are not spending much time just watching who is going where and doing what, we feel that this day was peaceful. People who turn everything off on the week of the Pascha, even while they are exhausted and coming to the church many times a day, they experience peace. Why? Because this mind now is focused in what is right and what is good, and no confusion. The church to us to be the pillar and the foundation of the truth. Everything we hear, we have always to check it with two resources, church and the Bible. What does the church say? What the Bible says? By this, we will not be subject to confusion. We have many examples of people who lived in a confused world, they still found peace. Noah lived in a time where he was the only godly man. And he was a man of after God's heart, he was a righteous person. Daniel, living in the land of captivity with many kind of philosophies and thoughts, and he still was able to find peace. Bob Athanasius, he was the orthodox person, and he was still enjoying peace because he knew what is the truth is. In the liturgy also, there are many practices that keep us into this kind of mind of Christ. Like all of the doctrines that we repeat, we come to the church to repeat our faith, everything we say. We commemorate the life of the Lord, what he did for us. All of us, all of this keep us with one mind. When we go out from the church, we share the same belief. The long prayer that sometimes we grumble against actually keep us as much as we can exposed to this influence of the church. Yes, we get distracted, which is normal, but at the end of the day, this touches our heart and this keeps us into the mind of Christ. So today, we are taught from the gospel that the Lord is the way. He is the way for every good thing, and above all, he is a way for salvation and a way of peace. To have peace, we have always to battle against fear, division, and confusion. If we trust in him, we have faith. If we have this spirit of unity and we acquire the mind of Christ, we will definitely enjoy this peace till that time with him. And glory be to God forever and ever.